This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
The Dr. Courtney Show is brought to you by Heroes for Healthy Pets. We're passionate about your pet's health.
Good day from California. Welcome to the Dr. Courtney podcast. As you can probably guess, my name is Dr. Courtney. I'm a veterinarian, hosted Pet Talk on Nat Geo Wild, and I'm just an all-around pet lover. I want to send a big thank you to all of you who are regular listeners and those who are tuning in for the very first time. Welcome. This is going to be an amazing podcast. Listen, this is a forum where we just get to laugh, love, and learn a lot about pets. And today, we have a very exciting podcast. And listen, I'll be honest, I do get kind of amped up about these podcasts, but this one in particular is going to be amazing. And the reason why is because we have something free for you. Yes, I said the operative word, the word that gets everybody's hair standing at attention, gives people chicken skin, goosebumps, whatever you want to call it, free, F-R-E-E. There is something free in this podcast besides getting to hear from my amazing guests today. So we are going to jump into it and talk about what you can get free by listening to this podcast. But first, I'd like to talk about something that affected me as a child growing up. I grew up basically in the sticks, in the woods, in Connecticut, Burlington, Connecticut, in fact. And during that, my upbringing, I was kind of just effaced and battled a whole bunch of bugs outside. Yes, it has been one of the nuisances of my upbringing is being affected by all kinds of flying insects, and particularly mosquitoes, horseflies, boy, they can bite. But one particular insect, in fact, is called noceums. And noceums are basically what you would imagine by saying you can't see them. They're tiny biting insects that can be a plague to so many people, particularly around watered areas, lakes, ponds, swamps, and they are just as much of a pest as mosquitoes, and they can ruin an outdoor get-together. If you're trying to eat dinner outside, you may not be able to because of noceums, and they just end up biting your skin and cause these red marks, and they're less than 0.03 inches long. So that's why they're so difficult to see, and that's why they are called noceums. Well, pets have their own version of noceums. Yes, they can be bitten by the fly too, but their noceums that are more dangerous and more deadly happen to come in the form of viruses and bacteria and parasites. And so humans have noceums, but obviously we refer to them as those flying insects. But the truth is, humans, dogs, cats, all of us that interact with each other together can have a different class of noceums, and that's what we're going to talk about today, the noceums that you can help prevent with vaccination. And these noceums are in the form of viruses, bacteria, those kinds of things. And that's why it's going to be an amazing podcast today, because we wrote a book and I co-authored a book with an amazing guest today that's going to talk about these sort of silent, these types of bacteria and viruses that you cannot see. So I'm going to pause for a brief moment. And when we come back, we're going to talk to our amazing guest and talk about what you can get free and what book we co-authored together. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back right after these messages. Stay tuned.
It's not just a sneeze. It could be the pathway to disease. Your dog is at risk for contracting dog flu. That's why it's important to vaccinate your dog for dog flu. Get your dog vaccinated today. Visit dogflu.com for more information.
Oh, sure. It's all fun and games until someone ends up in a cone. That's right. We're animals. Deal with it. Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
And so we're back. We're back to the Dr. Courtney podcast. As I was just talking about, I made a reference to noceums and these flying insects that I grew up with. But what we're going to talk about today is something a little bit, I'd say a lot more important than those flying insects that were pestering me as a young child. These killers that you cannot see, they come in the form of viruses and bacteria, and they are deadly to pets And some of them, as we will talk about today, can affect humans as well. And fortunately, I've co-authored a book with an amazing guest, Dr. Catherine Prim. And the name of the book is A Pet Parent's Guide to Infectious Disease. Dr. Prim, she is the owner and co-founder of Applebrook Animal Hospital in Tennessee. She's a prolific writer, and she's a regular guest on Ask a Vet column. It's featured in iHeartDogs.com and iHeartCats.com, reaching more than 3 million viewers. And she's also a pioneer, an absolute pioneer, in the nation's first fear-free certified professional program. And I'm just so happy that I am joined today by Dr. Kat. Welcome, Dr. Kat, to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me. We're going to have a lot of fun.
We are going to have a lot of fun. And I just want to let everybody out there know it was an absolute honor and privilege to be able to co-author this book, Pet Parents Guide to Infectious Disease, with you. So I really appreciate it.
Well, I think it's pretty awesome, too. And I hope everybody runs out and downloads it.
Absolutely. Dogflu.com. Please go and download the book right now. Actually, wait until the podcast is over. But after it's over, then please go to dogflu.com and download Pet Parents Guide to Infectious Diseases. All of this information we're about to talk about is all in one happy place inside a book. But yes, let's talk about some interesting pearls that aren't included in the book right now.
I'm so excited about this today and this cool download. What did you think about it?
Well, I got to be honest with you. I'm equally as excited as you are, because it's one of those situations where we don't, as veterinarians, we don't really get an opportunity to talk to pet parents about this enough. Normally, you get a chance to meet lovely pet parents and you've got a very full schedule, and a lot of your interactions are abbreviated, and for good reason. There's a lot of pets out there that need treatment. But getting into a deep dive, really focusing on what kinds of harmful viruses, bacteria, parasites are out there is so important, and it's a subject I'm glad I get an opportunity to not only talk with you about today, but have co-authored a book, which is basically like a dream come true.
I agree. And my favorite thing about the book is that you and I worked so hard to make sure that it is good, accurate information. And so we get to teach people about the thing that is the most passionate for both of us, which is helping pets.
Right. And that's the key. I like the idea of accuracy, because I'll be honest, there's a lot of well-intentioned people out there and there's a lot of information out there, but not all of it's accurate and not all of it has been researched and verified. And so to have an opportunity to put it all together comprehensively, so that when pet parents have a brand new puppy or a brand new dog, or maybe they've had dogs their entire life but just haven't had an opportunity to hear this information, there's a centralized hub, this book, where they can get all of that information. So for me, it's one of those things where it's like, finally, I'm so glad that this is out there. And what's cool is, listen, I'm a little biased, but I love the structure of the book in the sense that I had the opportunity to write some really good chapters that really focused on the science. You had some opportunities, some great chapters that focused on science, but also told some realities, told some real stories where the rubber meets the road, where that science actually meets real life. And I think the fusion of those two make the structure of the book perfect.
Well, you know, I'm a storyteller, so like that's what I do. And before I get into telling stories and forget the important part, I want to tell everyone out there how to get this book, because it is free. It is a free download. So you go to the website dogflu.com, dogflu.com, and you can find it right there, and it's free, and it's all of this excellent information in one place that you can trust.
I can't tell you how much people love that word free. You know what I mean? That's like the key word right there. But, and it's interesting because this type of information is the type that, for good reason, it, you normally would have a cost associated with it. Anytime you consult with an expert in a particular field, of course, there's going to be a consultation. But to have this book, you know, essentially free as a download, I think is a gift to so many. And not just because literally we wrote it, but mainly because it's a situation where a lot of people have been wondering, what should I do? How should I protect my dog at home? And what we kind of do is we go through it systematically and focus on these particular viruses and bugs. But what we do, we always underscore the fact that these viruses and the protection vaccines should be tailored to your pet, should be tailored to your pet's lifestyle. And I think nothing is more emblematic of that than this year's recent outbreak of canine influenza.
Well, and you can't tailor something to your pet unless you know what you're trying to tailor for. And of course, you want to have an excellent relationship with your own veterinarian. And Dr. Courtney and I are not trying to take the place of that. But an educated consumer who can know what they're looking for creates a better healthcare team for pets. And so this book is our idea, or the culmination of all of our hard work to do just that, to give dog lovers good information. And I kind of want to give everybody little hints and teases to make them want to go and download the book and read it. So I want you to jump in with me, Dr. Courtney, but we talk a little bit about parvovirus. So can you help me sort of paint the picture about parvovirus?
Well, parvovirus is a scourge, really. And I think that anybody who has spent time within veterinary medicine field, the veterinary medical field, understands and really has been assaulted or confronted with this horrible virus. And when I say assaulted, I mainly mean your nose. Your sense of smell is one of those situations where you're like, my goodness, what is that smell? Oh my, it's puppies and they're infected with parvo. And you put it perfectly in the book. You referenced the idea of the smell of death, and you're exactly right. I think a lot of people in this field know what that smells like. And sadly enough, that's exactly what the result will be for a lot of dogs who are untreated, and even for those dogs who are treated. I think all of us have had experience with parvo. I mean, how tragic is it to be around a family or around a litter of puppies who are passing away from this particular virus, or a new family who has already fallen in love with their new puppy and it becomes sick with parvo, and for whatever reason, they may not have the resources to engage in that high level of nursing care, that really intensive hospitalization, and unfortunately, the puppy passes away at home. So I think a lot of us have had that experience. Have you had similar experience with parvovirus as a veterinarian?
Well, I got to tell the story of Darla and Duffy. So that was one of my early sad experiences with parvo. I think the most heartbreaking part about parvo is we have a safe and effective vaccine for parvo. And you just have to follow your veterinarian's advice about when to give it and when to booster it. But it's pretty easy to prevent, Dr. Courtney. It just breaks my heart when I see it.
It really is. And I like how you highlighted the fact that you have to follow your veterinarian's advice about when to give it, because with vaccination, timing is everything, right? I mean, that is the quintessential issue when it comes to vaccination. It's that timing between maternal antibodies and the puppy's natural immune system. How do you explain that to people when you're trying to describe that timing on when to give the vaccine?
Well, I love the way you put it in the book when you talked about how vaccines work. And you have an entire chapter about how vaccines right. work. So for everyone listening, we're going to give you some teasers, but you should read the chapter because it sort of consolidates all of the information in a good way to help you understand why we give boosters and why we do the things that we do. But what I tell my pet owners is, we need that vaccine to be there when the puppy's immune system is ready to learn from it. And I like to say that vaccines are like a training ground for the immune system. If you think of the immune system as warriors or fighters, they can't go into battle untrained. So that's what vaccines do for me. That's how I explain it.
Well, I think it's a really good analogy as far as going to war, because that is what we are. You know, not to hyperbolize it or not to make it exaggerated, but essentially these puppies with an immature immune system are under constant assault. They're constantly bombarded with viruses and bacteria that literally want to take them out. And by having their mom's immune system that they get from colostrum, it keeps them protected, but that protection is temporary. And when that wanes, when that disappears, they're left exposed. And by using that vaccine, it could train their immune system. And a lot of people are like, I don't understand. Doesn't that make my puppy sick if I give them that vaccine? Now, I always make sure that pet parents understand that vaccines are made mainly three ways. Either they kill the virus, or they weaken the virus in some way, or they change the virus's DNA. And that way, it provides a sort of a training manual for the puppy's immune system so that when they're confronted with the real thing, they're protected. And of course, there are very small percentage of cases that of dogs who have allergic reactions or adverse reactions to vaccines, but by far the greater plurality of puppies benefit from the protection that they get from these vaccines. So I think that for me is one of the main motifs of this entire book is why are we doing this and why are we doing what we're doing instead of becoming a more intimate and very close to your pet, deepening that bond with your pet. You can do it by protecting them from infectious disease.
Well, I think also in my personal experience with Parvo, people can access vaccines from avenues that are not their veterinarian. And they tend to think, oh, a vaccine is a vaccine. It's going to work. But if you don't have that relationship with your veterinarian to help you time it, to help you make sure that it is a safe and efficacious vaccine that has been handled appropriately before it reached your puppy, you may be doing nothing. So I wrote in my story about Darla and Duffy, they had been vaccinated by their breeder, and the breeder was trying to do the right thing. But when the puppies changed hands into their new home, somehow the information that they were done, they were fully vaccinated, got passed on, and they weren't, because puppies are not finished with that vaccination series until they are 16 weeks of age, according to the American Animal Hospital guidelines. So if you get a puppy from a breeder and it has had one or two parvo shots, it is not done until it has been vaccinated by your veterinarian no earlier than 16 weeks of age.
It's so important to really underscore that, because you'll hear a variety of different recommendations from a whole bunch of from other people in your pet's life, in what I call the sort of the healthcare team. And the healthcare team, of course, includes the veterinarian. You may get health advice or recommendations or information from breeders, groomers, boarding facilities, and all of these people love your pet and are very well intentioned. But I think it's really important to focus on organizations and communities that have really researched this and really tried to find out what is the ideal protocol and the ideal timing for pets. Because let's be honest, every pet is slightly different. And so you'll have situations like what's called a vaccination failure, where a vaccine is given and for some reason your pet's immune system just doesn't respond, or it doesn't respond until the second or third booster. And so you may hear, you know, throughout some of the channels in the internet that, hey, well, I heard that puppies are protected after one vaccination, or why do I have to give so many boosters? And just keep in mind that every dog is slightly different. And these protocols have been established because immune systems are like students. Some are honor students and do amazing, and then other students need help, you know, and they need to attend office hours and they need special assistance and they don't always respond the same. So it's so important to follow, like you said, follow the recommendations of your veterinarian and the American Animal Hospital Association so that your puppy isn't left unprotected.
So here's the cool thing for all the dog lovers out there. You don't have to go and look up the American Animal Hospital Association guidelines, because it's written for veterinarians and it's pretty tedious. But Dr. Courtney has an entire chapter on vaccine strategy to help guide you in making these choices for your puppy. So download this book, because it's great.
Oh, thanks for the shout out. You know, I got to be honest, just as a sidebar, you and I both have a really interesting discussion, and you wrote an awesome chapter, particularly on rabies. And the reason why I like talking about this particular virus, is because what you highlight is the global connotation and the global nature of what veterinarians do and how veterinarians continue to affect people's lives and continue to save pets. In this country, of course, people kind of look at rabies as an afterthought. We know that people associate rabies a lot of times with wildlife. They see a raccoon in the day, and during the daytime, they know, stay away from the raccoon. A skunk during the daytime, stay away from the skunk. Foxes, etc. And they don't really think about their dogs getting rabies. And the reason for that is we have very diligent and focused protocols on rabies vaccination. In fact, it's the law in most states. So I like the fact that in this book, you wrote a chapter on rabies and how it kills close to 60,000 kids globally. And what people should understand from that is that veterinarians are doing amazing work all through the world. And kids who read this, or teenagers who read this book, can also understand that they can make an impact globally. Have you had either an experience with rabies just in your practice, or have had that discussion with somebody about the global impact that veterinarians are making in regards to rabies worldwide?
Well, you know, since I've been in practice, I'm in practice in Tennessee, so a lot of people know that already. But since I've been in practice, there was actually a case of rabies in a child who survive within, you know, I've been in practice for 22 years. So within the last 22 years, it was in Winchester, Tennessee, which is not exactly where I am, but really kind of close to home for rabies. Apparently, this child had found a sick bat and had put the bat in a shoebox under his bed, and his parents did not know that he had that. And, you know, bats had those little sharp teeth, and the bat didn't bite him, but the teeth may have scratched his hand enough for the saliva to infect him. So that was really heartbreaking. But I think about my responsibility to household pets, and how terrible would it be for a human being and their pets to die from this disease when I could have vaccinated for it?
Oh, it is really tough. And honestly, it's one of those situations where rabies by far, I think, among people is one of the most shocking and notorious infectious diseases that people know about, just because of the signs that it shows. That's sort of what we call mad dog, that phase, that classical salivation.
And
the old yeller, exactly. Or Cujo is a movie that I think a lot of people are familiar with. But one secret, silent or less celebrated killer that does affect people is leptospirosis. And you have a really good story about how you actually discovered leptospirosis in one of your patients. And fortunately, that pet lived. And I think everybody should read about that, specifically should read that chapter. And the reason I bring that up is just recently as 2017, there were leptospirosis cases in New Jersey. How exactly in Tennessee, how do you discuss lepto with your pet parents?
Well, we have actually a risk assessment that we go through with our pet parents in each visit, and we talk about how leptospirosis can come from standing water that wildlife, you know, may have urinated in, that wildlife are the source. Now, I live in the Smoky Mountains. There is no escaping the wildlife, and that's actually a good thing, and it's what I love about living here, but most of my pet patients are at risk, and people don't know they can get leptospirosis. You can get that from your pet. And if you do not know that and you become ill, it might be difficult for your physician to recognize that, because veterinarians are a little bit more aware of this risk maybe than just the day-to-day physician. So again, it can be vaccinated for. So ask your veterinarian if your dog might be at risk.
That's a really good point. And that's kind of what's so interesting about rabies is it talks about zoonotic disease and the fact that it could spread from a dog to a man. But leptospirosis is the most common zoonotic disease. We all know about rabies, but it's so important to know about leptospirosis. And I grew up just like you in the woods, essentially, in more of a rural area. And we saw raccoons and skunks and deer that walk through our yard. And it's important to know that leptospirosis, the reservoir for it, are deer, raccoons, and skunks. And so a lot of these wildlife can carry that bacteria and not be affected by it. And so they're not sick. They're walking around shedding that bacteria, and they seem totally fine. Your dog drinks from a puddle or plays in the swamps, and now you're wondering, how in the heck did my dog get leptospirosis? How did I get leptospirosis from potentially either not cleaning up or having contact with my dog's urine? It's one of those situations where people, like you said, just don't think about it until they're affected by it.
Right. Well, and so you have a whole entire chapter, which I thought was really awesome, that I'd never seen this information before, where you talk about cleaning up, because cleanup is really important in stopping the spread of parvovirus, for example, in between dogs that are infected. And you also talk about some of the other things that are included in the parvo vaccine, like distemper and adenovirus and parvo and parainfluenza. We don't really have time to get into all of those, but they're there. They're in the book. And you talk about how to clean it up. And I spend a lot of time talking with pet parents about advice on cleaning up. And now I can just send them to your chapter.
Well, I appreciate that, but I got to be honest, I think one of the infectious disease entities or group of infectious disease entities where cleanup could not be more important? Listen, it's always important, but one of it where it really affects businesses, affects people on almost a daily basis, is the idea of respiratory viruses, is the whole quote unquote common cold that you see in pets. And we call this basically canine cough, infectious canine cough, or canine infectious respiratory disease complex, whatever you want to call it, whatever the terminology is. The key is pet parents they're devastated, they're concerned, they get very worried when they see that their pet goes to a facility, let's say a doggy daycare facility or pet grooming facility, or even the veterinarian's office, and comes back coughing. And so when you see that, you know, oh no, these are organisms that make pets cough, and they're in the air, and they're on surfaces, and they're in pet bowls, and they're on pet items like leashes and collars and harnesses. And so cleanup becomes absolutely essential. At your practice, do you have very diligent cleanup protocols to prevent the spread of respiratory infectious canine disease?
Actually, we do. And it's funny that you mentioned that. One of the sponsors for our infectious disease manual is the Heroes for Healthy Pets. And so my entire staff and I have all completed that program. They provide some continuing education about disinfectants and how to be super duper careful. And it was an amazing experience for all of us. We're all certified as Heroes for Healthy Pets. So I'm glad that you brought that up.
Heroes for Healthy Pets. That's perfect. And that is part of, you know, and what I like about that particular program is I'll see that a lot in various CE seminars where people can get certified for Heroes for Healthy Pets, because what they realize through that program is that it's multi-pronged. There's multi-pronged. Yes, cleanup is very important. Yes, vaccination is very important, but also identifying the risk factors, identifying when groups of dogs congregate together, or if we have situations where we have unhealthy pets, what signs do you look for when you see a dog who's not feeling well? All of these are integrated in that curriculum. So what I like about Heroes for Healthy Pets and how to prevent infectious disease is that the focus isn't all about vaccination. It's not all about cleanup. It's not all about recognizing when you see a sick doggy. It's about all of them together in a more comprehensive understanding.
And so is our pet parents guide. Yes. So people need to go to dogflu.com and download the free pet parents guide to infectious diseases of dogs, because it is good information and it is free. And Dr. Courtney and I were both just really blessed to have been able to work together on this project to present this amazing amount of information for free to dog lovers.
Absolutely. Stop whatever you're doing right now and go to dogflu.com. Actually, don't stop. I want you to continue listening to this podcast. But when you're done listening, go to dogflu.com and download this book, because it's, like I said, it's wonderful. It has everything there. You can constantly use it as a reference. Keep it on your bookshelf and keep going back to it over and over and over, and share it with your family. So when they say to you, you know, hey, what is kennel cough? And then you realize, oh, this is what kennel cough is. It's not just Bordetella, and you start to learn about it. You can be informed for your family, and also you can entertain people at dinner parties. You can seem like the real smart one. So I completely agree. Go to dogflu.com and download this book, because it's both, like you said, entertaining because of your art of storytelling, but it's also informative and accurate. That's what I love
because
about
of
it.
Your hard work. Yes.
Well, listen, it's important. The reason I say, listen, I think that when I think about this book and I think about the kind of information out there, what to me is the most impressive is the amount that we've learned. Now, there's still plenty that we don't know, but I think that it's important to remember, you know, even from 1967, first parvo outbreak, then 1979, another parvo outbreak, then the year 2000 is when parvo mutated into 2AC. So even from 1967 all the way to year 2000, and even now in this 2018, we basically have learned so much, and the volume of medical information doubles every 10 years. And so having the most updated and most current information is perfect. And I like the fact that we also, it wasn't just you and I, we also had a team of references and other resources that we drew from to make sure that everything is up to date and very accurate.
And it was really fun, and I thought it came together beautifully. So I am so happy to get to talk to you again and for us to get to visit about this project and share it with everyone.
Okay. Well, Dr. Prim, thank you so much for joining me on this podcast. It was awesome talking to you about this book. I'm actually really excited because I know just listening to you and having people hear your voice is going to make them go download this book.
I hope so. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's been fantastic. Well, there you have it, folks. This was an incredible podcast. I got to be joined by Dr. Prim and co-authored this book together, Pet Parents Guide to Infectious Disease. Please, whatever you do, download it, put it on your bookshelf, share it with your family, your friends, and everybody else that's in that pet healthcare circle, because this is information that everyone can use. Until next time, just remember, there's nothing stronger than the human-animal bond.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.